under my couch cushions.
Well, wherever it lives, CDW experts can streamline your data across hybrid cloud environments and unlock your cloud's full potential with NetApp Cloud Services.
That's great. Ow!
You okay?
Yeah, I just stepped on some data.
IT orchestration by CDW. People who get it. Find out more at cdw.com/NetApp.
Spicy chicken nugs. We didn't say Wendy's, but you probably thought Wendy's, and you thought right. With a unique blend of spices, these are the spicy nugs that other spicy nugs wish they were. And with Wendy's new Ghost Pepper Ranch sauce, you'll reach new levels of spicy. So you're probably thinking, where's the closest Wendy's? Get the only 6-piece spicy nuggets worthy of their name for free with purchasing the Wendy's app.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's offer must be redeemed via the Wendy's app. App download and account registration required. Not valid with other offers. See offer and app for additional terms.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Check it out, George.
Hour number two of the Sports Hangover, off and running as we welcome your phone calls. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation at ESPN Radio NOLA. Got a couple of questions of the day. Heading into Monday's game, how confident are you in the quarterback position? I know we talk about it a lot, but legitimately, have you changed your position or do you have a different confidence level? Not just based on the game Saturday, but, you know, the old reports after practice, whether you go to John Hendricks, Nick Underhill, or Amy Just, who's going to join us at 2:05, the Picayune folks, Graffinini, who chimes in at 2 on Saints.com, Mike Triplett, ESPN, whoever you read all of them, you try to get all it. They're kind of right there with one another, huh? You're kind of waiting. Like, is it just me, or are you waiting for at least one day to hear, by far, you know, 2 days of good practice, not just a day? We'll go over some of the tweets for the people that got to go to practice today and look at it. Jordan's cutting the sound right now. DeMario Davis spoke. The quarterbacks are speaking. Sean Payton spoke as well. We'll have that sound throughout the show. This hour, Gary Smith will join us next segment. Quick update on Tulane. They had their scrimmage over the weekend. What he saw. Andrew Lopez is going to join us at 12:30. Josh Hart, that deal came out. It was officially announced by the Pelicans. Remember, a 3-year, $30 million deal. At first, people were like, whoa, it's an overpay. But, and then everyone, Jake Madison, Ali Cosell, everybody, Andrew was like, well, let's see what the details are. The details are this. No guarantees in year 2 and 3. So it's a, I think, player-friendly, team-friendly deal from this aspect of it. Josh has resigned, got some money. The team is happy with who he is and what they like on him, but it's not tied long-term for 3 seasons, if that makes any sense. They're not tied in, frankly, other than this year. It's also a very, and I'll get Andrew to kind of verify this, but it's a very trade-friendly deal, right? If another team gets them, they're not on the hook 2 more years, if that makes any sense. And I'm not saying that that's where you want to go, but for a player like him, that's maybe, I just think it's a good deal. I think it's a good deal for especially the Pelicans. Also, another question of the day, Saints fans, your thoughts on the team's statement today coming out, about tickets being refunded. There was, remember, starting on Monday, at least for right now, so I'll say foreseeable future, if you want to go attend a Saints game, just like the rest of the city of New Orleans right now in Orleans Parish, you have to show proof of vaccination or a negative test. So the team released a statement earlier today, kind of giving details because there was some Saints fans that were a little upset about this, don't like it, don't want to go through all of that, want a refund. The Saints originally had said they weren't going to do a refund. I'll read the statement quickly and then move on. Last season, we made the decision to offer refunds or rollover accounts to the following season because we knew government regulations would not allow us to fulfill a full season of attendance. This is not the case this season. Based on current city and state regulations allowing full capacity, we did not plan to offer refunds for season tickets, as has been our standard policy. We have received less than 120 requests for ticket refunds as of Thursday morning. Following media inquiries and recent articles about refund policies, we have received thousands of calls from interested fans wanting to purchase any season tickets made available by current season ticket holders seeking refunds. Our preference is to have these loyal fans in the seats rather than to see these additional tickets be made available to visiting fans via the secondary market. Those seeking a refund should reach out to their ticket rep by the deadline of Tuesday, August 24th at 4 p.m. So it's next Tuesday. Tuesday, August 24th, 4 p.m. At their request, we will cancel their accounts and provide a refund. So Jeff called last hour, wanted to make sure. If I call, I'm a season ticket holder, I want a refund. They will give you a refund, but they're canceling your account. And then the statement reads, those tickets will then be made immediately offered for purchase to our wait list. Every effort will be made to expedite this process since obviously the start of the home next season, home season is next week. So again, I'm a same season ticket holder. I don't like this. I don't want to do it. I want a refund. Key is the refund. If you want the refund, they'll cancel your account. So your tickets are now available. They're going to go now to somebody waiting on the wait list. If you don't want the refund, you don't want to go, you can do what Jeff kind of said, suggested, or think he hinted at, and he's going to go secondary market. So I'm just telling you what the team said. Now, what's interesting, Amy Just, who we're going to have on at 2 o'clock, she seems to think that this maybe came because of something that a state legislator did. She tweeted 3 hours ago that this comes after Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry asked the bond commission to withhold money from Saints-related projects until the team changed its policy regarding ticket refunds. Because last week and earlier this week, the Saints were not going to give you a refund. They said, all right, fine. We need to give people refunds. This is how we're going to do it. And the way they're doing it is they'll cancel your account. Those tickets go for sale. They're going to go to the wait list. That's if you want a refund on your Saints season tickets. So anyway, that's what the team came out with, earlier today. So love to hear your thoughts on what you think about that. If you're a Saints fan that got upset by it or not, Jeff called, give me a buzz. 800-998-1003. Jay Fowl on Twitter. Kamara is the only fantasy draftee in the first 10 rounds. He's referring to something I brought up earlier in the show in the opening segment that's, you know, you're going to start seeing a lot of fantasy football stuff. I mentioned in the next week or two, we'll start getting into our normal football schedule of guest coaches on Tuesday, Coach Fritz, Billy Napier, trying to get Coach Selfo for Southeastern, Coach Rebo for Nichols 115. All that stuff that we normally have is coming up. Fantasy, right? Ben Heisler, we have him on Thursdays. I like to wait until the end of the preseason and know who's hurt and who's not. But I was thinking about it listening to ESPN this morning on Get Up, and yesterday they had a lot of fantasy football experts, who to draft, who you go. And I was like, man, this is different, isn't it, this year? Like, in seasons past, there's 4 or 5 Saints players you're going with, isn't there? Like, you're comfortable. I mean, you might have even picked the tight end last year. How many legit Saints offensive players are you drafting? Because it's all fun and games when you want to call and tell me that they're double-digit winners. And, you know, we're playoff-bound, Gus. Why are you being so negative? Fine. All right, what about your fantasy leagues where you can win some cash? How about when money's on the line for real? When your team name, the Jordan Fighting Kleebears or whatever, are you drafting a Saints quarterback? Hi. Because you used to, right, with Drew. Like, you didn't even think about it. You were like, I want Drew. Are you, when the Fighting Kleebears pops up, drafting a Saints receiver? Now, here in New Orleans, we seem to think that Marquez Callaway can be that guy. But again, I'm just telling you, like, outside of this area, who's drafting Marquez Callaway? And I don't mean that in a negative way, but I've been telling you that one of the reasons I keep feeling that this team is a potential playoff team is because you don't have the talent that you've had in the past. You don't have Thomas and Sanders. Gus, Thomas was out last year. You had Emmanuel Sanders. the tight end whose name we shall not say. He led the team in touchdowns with 7. He's not there. I mean, I'm just pointing it out. Like, are you drafting Traquan Smith with your number one receiver? Like, it's Alvin Kamara, right? Of the two QBs, again, one of the questions of the day. How confident are you in a quarter? How confident are you? I mean, if you're gonna call me and tell me, Gus, the system. Gus, we got Sean. Pete Carmichael. Geniuses. Doesn't matter the receivers. We've seen undrafted free agents. We've seen, you know, low-end draft picks succeed under Sean. Okay. Are you taking a Saints receiver that you think is starting or a Saints quarterback as the first player in that position group? Maybe I should say it like that. Is a Saints receiver the first receiver you're picking when you pick receiver? When it's time to pick a quarterback, because I know some of you guys have philosophies, you go running backs first and then quarterback. Are you picking Hill and Winston? Kamara's a no-brainer. I get it. But, if the other guys don't perform, Alvin Kamara's going to see 11-man fronts. I mean, Gus, you can't do that. That's like a, you know, goal line defense. I hear you. I'm just telling you, no one's going to respect the Saints pass game to start the season. They're going to have to earn it. That's a fact. I'm firing Green Bay's defensive coordinator if they're not absolutely run blitzing every play. Like, Hill or Winston is going to have to go deep a couple times successfully and score touchdowns. If not, I'm firing the defensive coordinators for the first 3 games. Steve, what you got for us, sir?
Hey, I got 2 things for y'all.
Sure.
To pick up on what you just said, 11-man fronts with Alvin Kamara, I'm going to put forward that what we had at the end of last year, the quarterback could throw the ball 12 yards down the field.
Yeah.
So we had 12, you know, so that's not anything new for Sean Payton to deal with. He'll be all right dealing with that.
Okay,
I don't think
good
I'm
point.
Taking any Saints players. Okay. Again?
No, I was saying, good point that last year, because of the lack of ability to throw downfield, that it's something the Saints already kind of have been facing. Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's no big deal for Sean Payton. And as far as taking a Saints skill position player, number one, last year they spread the ball around too much to do that anyway. So this year I don't think that's any different either. I wouldn't deal with the Saints as my first pick at any position. That's not what I called about. I called about you guys getting into your regular football schedule. I'm going to tell you, I told you this last year, I would encourage you to add to your list of coaches that you're going to talk to every week, Southern and Grambling.
No, we are. Jordan's already reached out.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, fantastic. I'll be listening because I'm going to be honest with you, I'm a big SWAC man, and the SWAC just had big news this year. They mm-hmm. added Bethune-Cookman, they added Florida A&M, and the SWAC has already accomplished what the SEC is trying to accomplish by becoming this power conference. The SWAC has added Bethune-Cookman and Florida A&M, who are powerhouses out of Florida, who dominated the MEAC. So you're going to see a great brand of football in the SWAC. And no, I do not work for the SWAC. I'm just saying I'm excited about it. I can't wait to see it. And I want to hear y'all talk about it because it's going to be phenomenal this year. And not just those football programs, but those baseball programs and basketball programs, which are historically phenomenal and dominant in historically black colleges and universities. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see it, and I can't wait to hear you guys talk to those coaches.
That sounds good, man. Like I said, we literally have been trying to line all that up. Monday, Tuesday, we started sending out emails and texts. So Jordan is trying to get all of that set up, and we're aiming for 2 weeks, the 31st, Tuesday the 31st, the week leading into, obviously, the season openers. We're going to do that. So, yeah, I'm going around the state, man. If schools are willing to come on, we're going to have them on those Tuesdays.
All right. Yeah, you're right. I know you're a man of your word because you always stood. I know y'all tried last year just kind of got snowed with COVID. But the Saints are going to be all right, man. Tell everybody to take a chill pill. You know what? We're going to win our 9-10 games, go to the playoffs, get knocked out in the second round, first round or whatever. And, you know, why play the season? You know? Why play the season?
All right. You know? Okay. No big deal. All right. I like how you said it, though. You're already cool with the fact. I mean, look, I'll tell you what. Saints make the second round of the playoffs. Sean Payton may be coach of the year. I'm just telling you, man. It's going to be a challenge to get going. Which is why I said, man, wait to midseason. Let's see what kind of team you have. It's going to be a tough start, but let's see what happens once, you know, Michael Thomas comes back, around Seattle, Tampa Bay. You know, things that when Onyemata comes back, the team's going to be better. That's 6 weeks. I mean, it's going to be hard to make a this is the Saints statement before the bye. I just think it'll be difficult. Thank you, man. Good phone call. We'll get the Jags and Grambling on as well, but I promise. Quick break. We come back. Gary Smith will talk about the Wave when we return on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Toyota National Sales Event is going on now at Greg LeBlanc. At Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma.
Through the end of the month.
And they're ready. The deals are red hot.
Red hot.
With loads of fresh new Toyotas arriving daily. Plus, they have over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Greg LeBlanc Toyota is getting top dollar for trades. Remember, the Toyota National Sales Event is going on now till the end of the month.
Shop online at GregLeBlancToyota.com.
Or at the store. Greg's got the deals.
Download the free Lafourche Parish Sheriff's Office mobile app today. Stay informed with the latest news releases and get push alerts with emergency information. Submit an anonymous tip or pay tickets and fines all on the app. It also has popular features from our website, such as information on current inmates, active warrants, and an interactive map with information about sex offender locations. All of this and more is available on the free Lafourche Parish Sheriff's Office mobile app.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belt sand related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodaux, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Terrebonne General Health System Community Sports Institute is recognized for outstanding service and contributions to Terrebonne Parish. We provide a certified athletic trainer to every Terrebonne Parish High School. We also provide concussion baseline testing to over 1,400 student athletes annually, along with CPR and AED certification to over 500 area coaches at both the schools and the recreation departments. We are proud to be your trusted resource in keeping our community safe. Visit tghealthsystem.com.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. Mr. Gary Smith now joins us to talk a little Tulane Green Wave football as they get ready to open the season against a school you may have heard before, Oklahoma. Right kind of high in those polls, huh, Gary? Good afternoon, man. Hopefully you stayed dry. It poured earlier, sir. How are you today?
Yes, the Tulane, they're practicing early in the morning these days. Yeah. to get out of the heat. So I was home and well inside when the gully washer hit.
There you go. It was. I'm telling you, I was not like over exaggerating. It was It was a torrential downpour. All right, man. Look, we're getting closer. We're getting closer. About 2 weeks away, right? Coming up this weekend, it'll be two Saturdays away, and the polls have come out. The coaches' polls, the AP polls. Gary, you're much better at this than me, even though I've covered that team for a while. Is this the highest-ranked opponent that they've opened the season with, A? I think it's the highest-ranked opponent they're going to face at Yeoman, right?
Oh, yeah. Not even close on that front. Have not played a top-10 team at Yeoman to this point, and Oklahoma number two. The last time they played a team ranked that high was in 2007 when LSU came to the Superdome. So it was actually winning that game early, before reality set in that day. Just the whole idea of bringing a number two team to Yeoman Stadium is pretty neat. This may be a once in a lifetime opportunity you just don't have the top programs willing to play in a 30,000 seat stadium very often. And I kept having people tell me that Oklahoma was going to cancel. There was no way they were going to live up to that deal. Well, they did live up to that deal, and it's going to be fun. albeit really, really hot, when they play on September 4th at 11 a.m.
11 a.m.
when Tulane opened Yulman Stadium at Georgia Tech, I think it was something
was
like over 20 people were like hospitalized or needed not hospitalized.
Dude, it was more than,
medical
yeah.
treatment.
It was under.
It was just brutal. Yeah,
it was just under 100. It was like 89 that needed attention.
Yeah.
20, like you said, actually were hospitalized.
Yeah.
I will never forget that they ran out of water. I was seeking shelter because that year the team was on the press box side, not on the side where the Glazer Club is. And it was just, I mean, it was a bake fest. I mean, it was awful. There's like a sliver of shade right next to like the padding. And I literally would kneel in between plays in the shade. And my wife went, I don't think she's been back since. I'm like, honey, I promise there's water now, but no, I mean, Gary, it was bad. They'll have water this year, but I mean, it was the opening day and it was,
first game there, they weren't prepared.
No.
they'll be much better prepared. In fact, Troy Dan had talked about it the other week about how it's not ideal to play a game this huge in an opener, especially with COVID requirements and all of that stuff. But trust me, Tulane will be light years ahead of where they were.
That's where I was going. See, this is why you are excellent at what you do. Gary Smith, follow him on Twitter at GUERSmith all season long. That's where I was going. What a difference it makes, right? I mean, when we were there at Media Day, we had Coach Fritz on and several players. I mean, Gary, you and I have talked about this. Your eyeballs tell you how far it's come since then. Mm-hmm. I think to credit Willie Fritz as well, not just the recruiting and getting players, but to himself, maybe take different steps. He's moved on from very good friends, coaches at the coordinator positions, because he felt they needed to go in a different direction and adjust and maybe grow. I think that's a credit to maybe why Tulane is going to give Oklahoma a little competition. I don't know if they don't beat him or not, but as years passed, I'd say 6 years ago, this is a 72-3 ball game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, gotcha. And the three would have been because Oklahoma was overconfident back then. I mean, it was like I said, it's a light years differently. It's going to be a tough task. Oklahoma, they're number two for a reason. They've got great players. They've got more.
Heisman's
done a terrific job on their recruiting circuit. But Oklahoma's got talent across the board. They're faster than Tulane. They're bigger than Tulane. So it's going to be a tough task. But this is a team that relishes the opportunity as opposed to in past, let's face it, when Tulane played teams like this. Hey, as recently when Tulane went to Ohio State a couple of years ago, that was a Tulane team that was just trying to survive, basically. This is a Tulane team that's really relishing the opportunity and is going to go out and try to give Oklahoma everything they have, because it's just a testament to the progress Willie Fritz has made with just the whole tenor of the program.
Gary, I think one of the things that has really changed as well, and he's been open about it, I don't think he's being disrespectful, I think he's just being honest, quarterback. He says he really hasn't had that depth that he's had as he has this year. I said it last year. I think Michael Pratt might get drafted. I legitimately think that, and I know he's only played 1 year. He just has it. He seems to get it. He has talent. What do you expect from Michael Pratt this year, and what have you seen so far in practices in Saturday's scrimmage as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think Michael Pratt has all the intangibles you need and a good arm on top of that. He's being pushed a little bit by Justin Nibieta, the Country Day quarterback, because Justin Nibieta just has a beautiful arm and really throws a pretty ball. But yeah, Pratt, I'd say he's been a little up and down in preseason, but that's a function of having a new offensive coordinator in Chip Long. Chip Long pushes these guys hard. In fact, he said he wants them to fail some because he wants them to be absolutely prepared for the start of the season. His offense is a little more complex than what Tulane has run before, involves more plays, involves more thinking. Pratt can handle all of those features. It's just a matter of the guys around him. His offense is going to get better as the year goes along, but it will be interesting to see how they are for the opener, because obviously Pratt was in a groove by the end of last year. They offensive coordinator leaves to become head coach at Will Hall leaves for Southern Miss. Chip Long is an incredibly good offensive coordinator. He's got the best credentials of any offensive coordinator Tulane may have ever had almost. But there's always a learning process when you have a new coach. And I've seen some of that in the offense and in the preseason where they're still, you can see they're still thinking a little bit and still trying to get comfortable in what they're doing.
You know, even last season, Gary, speaking with Gary Smith, who's going to cover the Wave this season, I think the offense provided points. And I can go to the games that I shouldn't probably mention for Wave fans without giving them PTSD. Memphis. You look at Houston, the Navy game. They had double-digit leads. It's about the defense. So new D coordinator, new motto, new strategy, the first Wave of defense black jerseys or shirts that you have to earn in order to wear at practice. I love it. Can it translate into better defense? Because, Gary, let's be honest. If they're going to give Oklahoma game, if they're going to win games in the American, they're going to have to get off the field on third and fourth down, and it didn't last year.
Yeah, it's still unbelievable. Even when I still think about the two losses they had to Navy and Tulsa last year, it's hard to wrap my brain around how those happened. And that's why you mentioned in the top, and I ignored it like I shouldn't have, just Willie Fritz's willingness to change coordinators, because it was time. The Tulane defense had been pretty good over the years, but you can't keep the same plan around when you have what happened to Tulane last year, where they blow a 24-0 lead to a Navy team that was inept and couldn't throw, and then they blow a 14-0 lead in the fourth quarter, giving up one monster play after another, and then give up a Hail Mary touchdown on the last play of regulation. And there were several other games with similar stuff like that. Those were just the two.
Made me want to go get like Pepto.
I've never seen. I'm not sure. I've been covering college football since 1991. Right. I'm not sure I've seen two tougher losses by one team ever in the same season as Tulane had last year. So something had to change, and Willie Fritz did make a change. He brought in Chris Hampton, who had been on the staff for 4 years until last year, and the attitude is different now. We'll see how much of a difference it makes during the year, but they couldn't come back with the same stuff that they were running last year, because they clearly had zero confidence in the second half and in crucial situations in games last year. And it's just like, hey, Willie Fritz fired his longtime friend and offensive coordinator, Doug Ruse, after they qualified for their first bowl game under him a few years ago because he realized the offense wasn't where it needed to be. That's another sign of a coach. There's a lot of coaches who, if they go 6-6 at Tulane, would be resting on their laurels and satisfied with what they did, even if they didn't say it. Willie Fritz, that's not his approach at all, and he proved it again by changing defensive coordinators, and Chris Hampton is going to get his shot now. And I agree that they're playing with a lot of enthusiasm in the preseason. We'll see how much of a difference that makes against Oklahoma.
Right.
It's a tough assignment, but down the road in the conference and against Ole Miss a few weeks later, it could make a huge difference.
Yeah, and look, and that's what it boils down to. As I mentioned, you're going to have to eventually beat Houston. You got to beat Memphis. If not, it's kind of all for naught. So we'll focus on that, obviously, when we get closer to that. But I wanted you on as well here. Got about 2.5 more minutes. So, Gary, just what stood out to you in the scrimmage on Saturday?
The defense played well. Again, the offense is still kind of showing some growing pains, but the defense – the concern, obviously, going into this year was on the outside, on the defensive end. When you lose two absolute studs like Patrick Johnson and Cam Sample, the defense got a lot of pressure in the scrimmage. Angelo Anderson, a John Curtis product, was absolutely terrific in that game. JoJo Dorsius, a transfer from Memphis, who started for 3 years at Memphis, originally from New Orleans before Katrina. He decided he wanted to come back. He got a lot of pressure. They've got good depth at that position. I think they'll be fine. That was the concern going into the year, because they're loaded at linebacker. They're two leading tacklers on the team last year didn't even start at linebacker, Dorian Williams and Nick Anderson, and the two guys in front of them are back. So they basically got four excellent linebackers. They can run. They can get to the sideline if the defensive line plays well, which it looks like it has. This does have the potential to be an excellent defense.
One of the things too is weapons and running backs and all that. Look, I just love the fact that Tajay Spears is practicing and he sort of looks that way. Just your eyes, man, on him specifically, because again, that's another one that I'm like, that guy's league bound.
Yeah, he's a difference maker, and yeah, we'll see. Sometimes it takes a while. We won't know with him. He looked good when he first came to practice. He looked good on his first run of the scrimmage, but we won't really know until the game start whether he's got that 100% confidence in his knee, because that guy, his moves are unbelievable when he was healthy last year. And it's, you know, we won't know until the season starts. A lot of times it takes a little while for those guys to come back. But the thing is the guys behind him are really good too. Cam Carroll had a terrific year last year. He's huge. He's fast. He's strong. The Devin Brumfield transferred from Utah. He's good. Eugenio Booker, who's been around for a while but been injured a lot, is an excellent receiver. He dominated practice today. Willie Fritz teams always run the ball well, and obviously Tyjae Spears is a difference maker, but if he's 100% or if he's not this year, Tulane's still going to have another heck of a year running the ball.
As always, appreciate your time, Gary. Look forward to speaking with you throughout the season, and maybe, just, you know what, I don't want a Twitter banner photo. Keep it nice and blank, sir. It's who you are.
I do it for you, Gus. I do it for you.
You just keep forgetting, don't you? Gary Smith, following on Twitter, at G-U-E-R Smith. It's going to be a pleasure, man. Look forward to it. See you soon. Quick break. When we come back, Andrew Lopez will join us. The Josh Hart deal. Good? I think so. He'll detail it next on ESPN New Orleans.
Giving me home to smack you. Singing songs about Southland.
This is Stacy on her motorcycle.
What an incredible view!
And this is Stacy off her motorcycle.
Does this have sucralose in it?
On her motorcycle.
Oh, the wind in my hair!
Off her motorcycle.
It's pronounced etc., not etc.
On.
Woohoo! Yes!
Off.
No.
You're better on your bike. And with basic policies starting at $75 a year, quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
DoorDash here with Summer of Dash Pass. Right now, Dash Pass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. Need a nightcap? $10 off. Got a cough? Get relief delivered for less. Want to surprise your crush? Send a gift and save. Try Dash Pass for free and get special savings, exclusive menu items, and $0 delivery fees year-round. Get more from your neighborhood now with Dash Pass in the DoorDash app. And stay cool out there. Terms and conditions apply.
The Dave's single from Wendy's, made with fresh, never-frozen beef, has the power to blow your mind. But now that the Dave's single is buy one, get one for a buck, as well as the spicy or classic chicken sandwich and the spicy or crispy 10-piece nuggets, Wendy's BOGO for $1 deal is gonna blow your mind. And your speakers. Get these faves. BOGO $1 only at Wendy's.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with combo or any other offer.
Sarah Spain.
She is resigning now in this moment because she has been proven to have failed all of those girls.
And me, Jason Fitz, are Spain and Fitz. We are back.
College football has built into it nostalgia.
Sarah Spain.
A connection to a community. This will not have that.
Jason Fitz. He is, when he is healthy, considered to be one of the great young pieces in the game.
Spain and Fitz returns weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the sports hangover with Gus Kattengill.
That's big time. It's big time on all of our guys. They were supporting each other. Whomever was on the floor, they were clapping. They were up, like you said, loud. And that's the connectivity we want to have as an organization. And I thought our guys did a great job of going out and setting the tone, just being there for each other through thick and thin.
That is upcoming head coach of the year, Willie Green. Andrew Lopez covers the Pelicans for ESPN. Andrew, how are you, sir, this afternoon?
I'm good, man. I am good. I mean, it is true. Willie Green has never lost a game as a head coach of New Orleans Pelicans.
There you go.
I guess you got that going for you.
I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm excited. Everyone is telling me to relax. Calm down. Travis, Mr. Laker, texted me last night. Are you really excited about? I am. There's certain things I think translate. But I'll get to that here in a quick second. You can give me my level of excitement, yes or no. I want to get your experience over there. But more importantly, the news came out today, officially, that Josh Hart is back. We'd seen that report out. And everybody kind of wanted to wait for the structure of the deal. I keep seeing everyone thinks it's a win-win, definitely for the Pelicans. What do you think about this deal? Kind of detail the structure for the listeners.
Yeah. So this is a unique contract. I think that's the best way to put this. It came out at 3 years, $38 million. I think the best way to put it right now is it's it's basically, and Bobby Marks put it this way, and I think it's a great way to say it. It's basically 3 1-year contracts together. The way it's structured right now. So there is two of the years are non-guaranteed, but there's a player option on the third year. It's a weird deal. So first year is guaranteed. I think at 12.8, I believe the number was, somewhere in that range. So he'll play this year on a contract roughly $8 million more, than if he would have signed a qualifying offer. And then can go into free agency next year as an unrestricted free agent. Next year, the contract, I think, is at 12.9, but it is a team option. I'm sorry, it is non-guaranteed on that, which means the Pels can waive him, but I think it's like 2 days before, 2 days after the draft. So it's not a situation where, you know, they can play it going into free agency and try to draw it out and kind of screw him over in terms of, if he was going to get his money or anything like that. So that's one thing. It's 2 days after the draft in that. The following season, there is a player option that he can pick up, but it is non-guaranteed for like a 24, 48-hour period. So even if he picks it up, there's a chance that he could then get waived in the next 2 days. So it's really three kind of 1 year deals where the idea here is you're looking at basically, you know, a very, very tradable contract.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Hart gets his money this year. He gets 12.8. And that fits nicely into, you know, moves that they could make at the deadline, moves that they could make next year. If they decide to, you know, trade him during the year, okay, well, the other team basically gets to decide, okay, do I want to pay Josh Hart $12.9 million next year, or do I want to wait and let him hit the market? So he may be able to hit the market next year, possibly get, you know, a longer contract that would guarantee him more than the $25 million that would be left on his deal. So it is a very, very unique contract. In fact, Bobby Marks, our former GM, said it's basically one of the more unique contracts he's ever seen in his career. So a lot of, language used there. It's basically 3 1-year deals for Josh Hart to get his $38 million.
You could have saved yourself about 6 minutes by just saying Jordan Kleber made this contract. That's all you had to say. I mean, it just kind of sounds like...
You know what I forgot about today, too?
What?
I was thinking about this earlier, and I said, I'm going to let Jordan ask the first question today. And I completely forgot. So now, Jordan, I will let you ask the next question. No matter what it is, I will answer it.
He's not here.
Damn.
He's in school. He's in school now. We may or may not see him for a while. I don't know when I'm going to see him. He's in school over there. He's in class at the Harvard of the North Shore. But okay, how about this? I'm going to play the part of Jordan and go speak with Andrew Lopez of ESPN, covers your New Orleans Pelicans. Andrew, is Gus out of his mind because he thinks that Trey Murphy should start?
No. No, there's a lot to like about what Trey Murphy's doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
He came out, he was a 50-40-90 guy in college. He shot it well in summer league. He provided a great, you know, defensive boost as well. I still don't know if I want to throw him out in the starting lineup. It may be something where I throw him out in the closing lineup, where he is essentially
okay.
The sixth man, depending on what I do. Let's say my starting lineup is Devontae Graham, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson, Jonas Valanciunas. Okay. And if I have to go quick at the end of games, okay, well, then maybe I put Trey in for Valanciunas. Maybe. You could make the argument to me that you go Nikhil, Trey, B.I., Z., and Jonas. I could I wouldn't fight you on that. And then Devontae Graham comes in for Valanciunas at the end of games as his sixth man. Obviously, now you have Hart. You still have Fedoransky. You have Najee, who's going to, you know, force his way in there and get minutes. You know, you're still going to have Jackson. So there's a lot of different things you can do. You're probably comfortable playing really 12 or 13 guys, because that's not mentioning Garrett Temple. That's not mentioning Kyra Lewis.
Yeah.
So going to be interesting to see what they do if this is, in fact, a team that they take into the first regular season game, which, you know, we'll see what sort of opportunities could present themselves in training camp. But for right now, I think this is what you're working with.
Andrew Jordan is listening, and he says, no, I want to ask a question. So here it is. Here's his question. Do the Pelicans make another move, or are they done?
So, I think they're done. I think if something presents itself, they may decide to pull the trigger. I could see, obviously, they spent a lot of time talking about a possible, I think, Buddy Hield deal with Sacramento, to where something could have gone up there. The only move left that I think they could have would be a Lauri Markkanen deal. And if you go back and listen to, you know, in Bobby's little video that I retweeted on from Instagram, he mentions that now that they do have a little bit of cap space left, I don't think that they were trying to take Lauri Markkanen into the trade exception, just because I think they would want to try to save that flexibility for until you could use that up until next year. You can use that, you know, at the trade deadline. So I don't think they're going to put Lauri into that, especially if Chicago's still asking for a first-round pick. You can get that done for a couple seconds. Sure, go for it. But overall, I think they're probably done, unless something that, you know, jumps out. And I think that is one thing. If you do look at, you know, we ran a story on ESPN today, Tim Von Temps ran one. Executives are kind of scratching their head at what the Pels did. A lot of people are scratching their heads at what the Pels did. The one thing I will say they do have is flexibility with Satoransky's deal, Valanciunas' deal, Josh Hart's deal. You have expiring deals to go out and make a major move if somebody opens themselves up and says, hey, I want to be traded. Maybe New Orleans is one of the places I want to go. So there are options. There are moves to be made down the line, but I can see why it's still kind of confusing for people right now.
So just real quickly, because I got another question from a listener, the scratching their heads at what the Pels did, in what regards of they don't think there were good moves, or how they managed to make it and kind of set themselves up?
Kind of what they don't think they were great moves. I mean, you know, if you're looking at Lonzo for Graham, still going to give up a first to get that done.
Gotcha.
On the Charlotte side, so there's a. I mean, Tim's article is up. A lot of people kind of they're wondering what they're doing, and I think it's a few people have pointed out if they're going to make a jump this year and be in a play-in game at least, or get into the playoffs, there's still going to have to be a lot of internal growth. BID and Z on the defensive end, Nikhil Alexander Walker into a starter. I think for them to make the jump necessary to become a playoff team.
From General D, he thinks that Najee gives him a little bit more, and Josh Hart rebounding, well, it was pretty good, perhaps inflated because of they were a poor defensive rebounding team. So here's his question to you: who gets more minutes this upcoming season, Najee or Hart?
Ooh, I think it's going to be Hart. I want to take a cop out and say I think it's going to be about equal. I think Najee's going to get a lot of 3-4 minutes. I think Hart's going to get a lot of minutes. Hart's really not a 2 on this team. Let's just be real. He's really a 3. So if you're going to run backcourts of Satoransky, Devontae Graham, Josh Hart, Najee Marshall, I can see Josh and, you know, Najee being at around the same minutes this year, if not Josh getting a tick more because of his, I think, ability to go down and guard ones more so than I think Najee. But I tell you what, Najee's putting himself in a position where he's locking up playing time now, and it's not gonna it's gonna be you know, some situations where maybe even he kind of finds himself on the floor at some of the end of these games.
I guess just overall view, man, or thoughts of being around Willie Green, just kind of that environment and stuff like that. It really seemed like the players bought in. You know, I asked Will as well what was sort of like. It was the first time you met him. It's been a while since you've actually been around coaches. What was it like, Andrew? I mean, because look, no matter what, there are guys that you have to Google who they were. He got in 10 days, essentially, a bunch of guys to play together. That's A. B, to want to play defense. And C, they won. Sold. I mean, I know it's summer league, but the ability to connect quickly, that means you weren't overcomplicating things. You somehow got them to buy in. Now, granted, they're trying to get contracts and they're playing for their, you know, checks. But there's something still to maybe that. I don't know. You were around him and saw that. What did you get?
Look, when you're talking about guys playing hard in summer league, there's a lot of guys who have to play hard in summer league or they're not getting deals. So you're going to see a level of buy-in and commitment no matter what. The key becomes the buy-in and commitment from the guys who have guaranteed deals. The Didi Luzadas of the world, the Najee Marshalls, the Trey Murphy. Getting those guys to buy in is what you're looking at. Trey mentioned it, I think, multiple times. Look, I have to show, this is my time to show Willie Green. You could put me on whoever. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to earn my minutes, whether it's I'm playing, you know, the two, the three, the four, whoever you're going to have me guard Evan Mobley. You're going to have me guard, whoever the guard is on. I don't care. Najee Marshall twice. He's a player's coach. It's easy to play hard for him. And I think when you got that buy-in from those guys, it can carry over. Now, I think having that carry over in a camp would help. I don't know if that's going to happen when you have a Devontae Graham, a Brandon Ingram, a Zion, a Josh Hart, all these veterans. Can he get the same buy-in from them? Great. I think the biggest part about what he was doing, he was able to work on ATOs. Some of his after timeout plays were really, really good, especially in that Golden State game. The Herb Jones drive to the layup on the fake handoff, basically.
Right.
That fooled everybody. That's what I wanted to see from him. And then he got a lot of guys breaking in. I know we're kind of getting close on time. One last thing. One of my favorite things, I think, from all of Summer League, and I don't think I've said this at all, Didi Luzada had a very bad offensive performance in Vegas. I remember there was one game, I think it was the second game, he shoots it, misses it bad. He's got his head down. He's walking off the court. Willie kind of like comes out to meet him on a free throw, like, hey, pick your head up, high fives him, pick his head up, like, come on, we're going to get the next one. That's the kind of stuff you like to see. You heard a lot of it on the mic'd up thing. If that can at least carry over, you're putting a lot on what Willie can bring to the table,
right,
and internal growth, and for this team to make that jump this year. Will it happen? I don't know, but there were some, you know, some nice, you saw some nice things in the, you know, in Vegas.
Look, and I'm okay with this as we wrap up with Andrew Lopez, who covers the Pels for ESPN and the NBA. It's simple, though. Andrew, I get throwing out millions of dollars for these veterans and big names. I get it. If the Pels want to be a consistent winning or playoff organization, their franchise player, their all-star player's got to lead the way. The Milwaukee Bucks won the championship by Giannis blocking shots, Holiday blocking shots, playing defense, Middleton making shots. But Middleton and Giannis were the two key pieces that grew together over 8 years. I mean, I don't mind this from this aspect of it. Instead of being in an area where you're just spending and throwing all kinds of money, put it on them. I mean, Zion, get with it. Play D, get better. Brandon Ingram, get better. Play D, come through in the fourth. I mean, if those two guys do it, then those ancillary pieces all of a sudden look like Payne. They look like Portis Jr. They look like all of that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And you need those two guys to buy in on that side of the floor. What you did go, I think, and find is a big defensive piece in a Trey Murphy. And then you can have a lineup out there of, let's say, Najee, Trey, Nikhil, and then Brandon and Zion.
Yeah.
Because you have, you know what I'm saying? So you've given yourself some versatility. It's just you're asking a lot of Trey Murphy. You're going to ask a lot of Nikhil. If, you know, as long as those two guys make the buy and jump, we'll see where this team can go.
Andrew Lopez.
I don't know.
As always, man, I appreciate the time. _Andrew_Lopez, the way to give him a follow. I guess I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks or something. I don't know. Door's open, man, if you want to ever come in and hang out, though.
May have to do that, man.
All right. You know, it's always welcome. Thank you, bud. Appreciate it. Quick break. We'll come back more on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Your new Ford dealership in Lafourche Parish is Calvin Braxton Ford. You may need your vehicle serviced, but you don't want to drive too far. Get ready for some good news. The Calvin Braxton Ford Service Department in Lockport is now open. And better yet, they truly want to keep your vehicle running at its best. Now offering a special on gas-only oil changes, just $39.95 up to 5 quarts. Plus, with 4 new tires, your alignment is only $69.95. Yeah, Calvin Braxton Ford, 5878 Highway 1 in Lockport.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same-day appointments are available on weekdays, with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
5G is here, but the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. Well, no more, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month with no contract. And get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, all on America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
This is the sound of achieving more, and you better get used to it. The Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 3 5G gives you the upper hand with a phone that unfolds into a tablet. Open select apps side by side to search, stream, and share it all at once. Or go totally hands-free for video calls, selfies, and group shots. Pre-order Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 3 5G today and get $200 in Samsung.com credit. Are you ready? Valid through 8/26 while supplies last at select retailers. See additional terms and conditions at Samsung.com.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice, be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Can we talk
sports?
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. Sports Hangover 800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime into the conversation. Got a couple of questions out as questions of the day today. How are you feeling about the quarterback competition? A couple of the tweets and reports from today's practice. Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston, each with a pick six. The Winston pick six, there could have been defensive holding on the call, but the play was made. Ken Crawley was the one that intercepted Winston. Andrew Dowell intercepted Hill. So maybe even because of that, I'm just, based on what you saw Saturday, how you feeling today, do you feel differently? You did say start of camp. And I know it's not that long, but, you know, they did start at the end of July. It's the 19th of August. How do you feel heading into Monday's game? How confident are you at the quarterback position right now? Also, another question of the day is the Saints' statement coming out saying they will give you a refund. You have until Tuesday, August 4th, if you're a Saints fan. Want a refund for your season tickets because you don't want to adhere to or don't like or don't want to go through the policy that starts Monday, Saints-Jaguars, 7 o'clock in the Dome, to get in. You have to show proof of vaccination or show proof of a negative test. So if you're one of those Saints fans, the Saints releasing a statement that they've received less than 120 people requesting refunds. And they're saying, all right, now they'll do so, but they're going to cancel your account. And then those tickets will go to somebody on the waiting list if they're interested in buying them. you can keep your tickets and choose to not go and, you know, sell it on a secondary market, give it away, do whatever you want. But if you ask for a refund, your account will be canceled and your tickets are gone. It's basically what you got out of that one. So your thoughts on that. Adam on Twitter, here's my thoughts. The last dollar I spent in Orleans Parish was on a cocktail at the end of the third quarter watching LSU beat Clemson in the national championship. I suspect it will be the last long dollar before I spend my next dollar in that parish. So it's a lot of people that aren't happy with that happening there as well. So your thoughts on it, we can get to it. But head coach Sean Payton after practice today, Jordan's got the sound in. And I thought it was interesting. They haven't had many outdoor practices, much less open to the fans this season. Now, look, COVID might be something to it. This Delta variant deciding to right literally at the start of training camp, show up and get the COVID numbers the way they are right now could be a reason. But, you know, we were told in the media that this week, the, you know, they were off on Monday. And then for the rest of the week, because this is the last official quote unquote training camp week, they'll go to a more traditional practice schedule next week. So this is the last quote unquote training camp week, that they were going to be indoors from Tuesday to Saturday. Coach was asked why have they been practicing inside and why have they chosen to do so.
And part of it is the schedule has changed relative to how long we can be on the field. So that has a time constraint. And then look, effectively to practice outside, that requires 7 or 8 breaks. So it used to be a 3-hour time slot is reduced to 2.5. So, you know, it's a weather decision for us.
You just get less done in the heat, right?
Yeah, and look, when you had more time, then you could take all of those breaks, and we just knew that we were going to go through a stretch here, some real, really hot weather.
And it is, indeed. You've heard me joke about it, and I don't mean that it's a laughing matter, but heat wave, we either bake or get a hurricane. Hurricane Grace heading over to Mexico because of this heat wave that's actually going to really hit this weekend. Keep an eye out there, folks. Cut the grass, do whatever, like to be outside. 98 degrees are your temps. So add the humidity, the heat indices are going to be easily triple digits, but it could be 98 through like Tuesday, starting Saturday and even later tomorrow. So it's been raining today. That helped keeps it down, but maybe that's part of the reason what Coach is saying there as well. He was also asked about Marshawn Lattimore. You heard me and Jordan talk about it yesterday. Me and Maddie talked about it Tuesday. I don't understand this. Is he suspended or not? Like, what are you waiting for? I don't like how the, and I'm not just saying that's because he's a Saints guy, you know? Now look, you got popped for PED, substance abuse, whatever. The NFL seems to quickly hand out, like we found out before camp started, David Onyemata is going to be gone. Or at the beginning of camp. So you knew that. But is Deontay Harris with the DUI arrest, is he in, you know, in trouble or perhaps at risk of being suspended a game, 2 games? I might want to know that. Marshawn Lattimore, same thing. Coach was asked about him.
Good question. We haven't heard anything, and so, you know, we wait, and I haven't heard anything.
Is there a normal?
I don't know that there's ever a normal. You know, a lot of it might depend on their schedule, but yeah, we're approaching it like, you know, he's full speed, ready to go once we start the season, and I've not heard anything.
Is there a point?
I'm sure it probably has something to do with, you know, the state and the city, and what's going on, you know, relative to that case in Ohio. So,
from your standpoint, though, you're assuming he'll be good to go for week one.
We're preparing that way with every one of these guys.
It's interesting to hear Coach say that as we wrap up our number two, right? I mean, I guess you have to approach that way, but trust me, they're also thinking what happens if that comes down. I don't get why the NFL is waiting. Hour 3 next. Amy.